Thanks to our listeners, Issues Etc. has operated independently and in the black for 10 consecutive years. With 3 weeks left in 2018, we're $77,000 short of projected expenses. Please make a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. When the subject of miracles comes up, it's always interesting to see where people fall. Sometimes we look back at the Old and New Testaments and maybe without too much inspection of the actual documents, we assume that miracles were just happening all the time. Pastors will get questions like, well, Pastor, miracles happened all the time in the Bible. They were constantly going, almost a daily basis. Why don't we see miracles today? Now, there are several ways to answer that question. I often wonder why we overlook the miracles that do happen today. When a pastor can say, with Christ's own authority, this is my body, and Christ's body is in with and under the bread and wine, that is a miracle. It's not a miracle a lot of people believe. Well, a lot of Christians do, but a lot of Christians don't. But it is a genuine miracle. Maybe today's charismatics have too narrow a view of what God does in the miraculous today. It's This Week in Pop Christianity here on Issues Etc. It's time to answer that question: should Christians expect daily miracles? Joining us to do so, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So charismatic leaders often portray the Old and New Testament eras as kind of the time of daily miracles. Miracles are just popping up and happening all the time. Is that true?
No. In fact, you'll note that the Bible most of it is completely miracle-free. And what I mean by that is that let's talk about what, kind of narrowly define a miracle. In the New Testament, for instance, a miracle is the Greek word behind it is sign, semeion. And so it's a sign. It's something that is undeniably an intervention on the part of God that kind of disrupts, if you would, natural law and or a particular condition. So when Jesus raises somebody from the dead, that is a semeion. That's a sign. That's a miracle. When Jesus gives sight to the blind, that's a miracle. So when you're looking through the Old Testament in particular, you'll note that there were no signs performed by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Noah didn't perform any signs. Nobody prior to Moses actually gave any signs. And Moses was the first, and the signs he was given were the ability to turn water into blood, to put his hand in his cloak, make it leprous, put his hand back, and it would stop being leprous, and then turn his staff into a serpent or a snake, and then pick it up, and it becomes a staff again. Those were real signs. Those are the miraculous. And so when you look in Scripture, those are rare, very rare. And so Moses is like a watershed mark of that. Then you get to Elijah and Elisha. Then you see signs showing up again. And then signs are gone again all the way until the apostles. Instead, how God operates normatively is a lot like what we see in the book of Esther, where people have to trust in God's providential working in situations in order to rescue them out of danger and things like that. And so I think the book of Esther is a lot more akin to what to expect as far as miracles in the life of any believer in God, whether Old Testament or New.
Now, I want to get one thing in before we take our break and then start listening to some of the claims of the charismatic fringe on daily miracles. Do charismatics generally too narrowly define what a miracle is? And here I would contend that miracles do occur every day. Charismatics just don't believe the word that says these things are happening, like this is my body or baptism now saves you.
Right. Or you can even talk about a sinner being brought to repentance. That's truly a miracle, by the way. Yeah, they kind of go, Yawn. Yeah, that's that. No, we're talking about something that's going to make the world stop and take a look and scratch their heads and wonder, what was that about? That's how they're defining miracles. And the sad thing is that their definition is not only interesting, they're not performing the very miracles they claim should be happening every day in people's lives.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, we're taking up the question, should Christians expect daily miracles? We'll be hearing some sound bites on the other side of the break that suggest they should, and maybe why people don't see them. It is a good question to ask, though, for those who say that they operate in the miraculous every day. Just please show me. Let me get my iPhone out. I'd like to record this for my kids and see what happens then. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
This Christmas, bring your family and friends to experience a reenactment of the Christmas story in Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Enjoy a live nativity, warm drinks and cookies, and live music performed by student groups.
From 5 to 8 p.m. on December 21st, come to Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, to enjoy this Christmas experience for all ages.
Admission is free, and when you donate $25 or more, you'll also receive a custom piece of art made by our students.
For more information,
call 618-656-0043. Merry Christmas!
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
The day I started to stop being a feminist was the day I saw, you know, the positive pregnancy test.
Sexuality and the practice of sexual intercourse implies commitment and fidelity.
I tell you, if you had more Muslims per cubic inch, you would have exactly the same kind of difficulties.
We don't preach the gospel to people to make them comfortable with sin. We preach it to comfort them when they sin.
Half hour from now, we're going to play Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll play those four soundbites, in their entirety. And then after you've listened, you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your votes will decide which of those four soundbites will be Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're answering the question, should Christians expect daily miracles? Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, you've brought some examples of someone claiming daily miracles and that Christians ought to have daily miracles. Who are we going to hear from here?
All right, we're doing a little international work today. We're going to be listening to Tak Bana of Church Unlimited. This is in the South Pacific, you know, rim. And we're going to be listening to him and, you know, and his message called Everyday Miracles. And I'll just basically put it this way. We'll let him set it up where he's going to make the claim that pretty much, you know, a day without miracles supposedly is a boring day, and we should never put up with that as Christians.
So not long ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Have you heard me talk about that he's the God of miracles and he wants to take miracles to another level in our church? And testimonies like the one I share are coming in. You'll hear a few more today. But in the Bible, as you read through the scriptures, miracles are the norm. They're not the exception. And tragically, we have accepted the gospel with limited miraculous power. And it's almost like we've given ground to the enemy. But we got to take back this ground because miracles are the domain of Christianity. Miracles are the heartbeat of the church. Miracles are our zone. Miracles are where we operate best or where God wants us to operate best. The signature of Jesus is miracles. He went around doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil and setting people free and releasing them. He is a God of miracles. If you need a miracle in your life, listen up. Receive faith because God's got a miracle waiting for you. It's not far away. Don't be disheartened. Don't be discouraged. I'll get to it shortly, but God can do all the miracles, whatever you need. A day without a miracle is a boring day. Would you say that with me, please? A day without a miracle is a boring day. I declare over your life and mine, no more boring days. We want a Christianity that is so exciting, so powerful, so dramatically life-changing that the world loses all of its appeal and we run after God with passion and fire. That's the kind of Christianity I'm interested in, and I'm sure you are as well.
So, Chris, it put me in mind of just change the accent from Australian to maybe Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And it's Oral Roberts from the late 70s, you know, promising every Sunday morning that God has a miracle for you.
That's right. It's the same theology from Tulsa, and it's just spread around the world, and now taking up the torch is Takbana. So, yeah, it's the same thing, and note that we don't want a Christianity. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing because by talking in this way, note that there's a very tacit but very real slap against confessional Lutheran churches and other churches that, you know, do ordinary things like, you know, preach the word, sing hymns, you know, baptize and teach and, you know, pray for the sick and stuff like that. That's just boring. It's a powerless Christianity, the charismatic says. And so we want an exciting Christianity. We want one of daily miracles. Don't you want that, Todd? I mean, why are you putting up with that stuffy Lutheran church that you go to? You should go for something exciting. God wants you to have an exciting Christianity. And you've sold out and gotten the boring one instead.
He did claim something directly contrary to what we had spoken about before, and that was that in the Bible, miracles are the norm.
Yeah, he did. He said that overtly. And just a reading of the biblical text, noting where the miracles take place, what he said is absolutely false. It's not, you can't verify it at all. Now, this is where it gets a little slippery. What he does here, and he's kind of not exactly defined what a miracle is. So then an answer to prayer in his way of thinking now will qualify as a miracle. But an answer to prayer is not a semeion. It's not a sign. That is, you know, so for instance, we pray daily, you know, in fact, we do this several times a day. We pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we pray this, give us this day our daily bread. So when we pray that, we're praying that God in his mercy and his providence as our heavenly Father who loves us and sent his Son to die for us, that he also would supply us with daily bread. So I'm very confident that somebody like Takbana, when he's buttering his toast, isn't going, Lord, thank you. It's a miracle. I have toast in my refrigerator and I was able to pop it in the oven and blammo, I can put some butter and jam on it. And what a miracle. I'm sure he doesn't think that way. And yet, you know, so he's kind of playing fast and loose with the definition here as we're working through this.
And he claims to, at the very beginning, very quickly made this claim, and I want you to address it, that he said something like, "You remember, I have told you that the Holy Spirit has spoken to me and told me," and he's speaking about his congregation, that he wants to ramp up the miracles among them.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the idea here is, along with this type of message over and again, you're going to hear the guy preaching it, claiming to have direct auditory or internal auditory communication from God, the Holy Spirit. You know, they'll be walking down the street thinking about something, and God will say, "Take a look at that over there." And they take a look, and then God says, "What do you think of that?" And so they seem to have a communication with the Holy Spirit that is conversational. So, and then you'll get the claim, God wants to ramp up. He wants to release more of the miraculous in our church. And this is a weird way to talk. So the Holy Spirit apparently said to talk, it's like, "Yeah, you know, I really want to release more miracles." Well, of course, my immediate question is, if that's God talking, then why doesn't God just get on with it and do it? I mean, he's the one who spoke the world into existence in 6 days. I'm pretty sure if he wanted to release more miracles, he can just get to it immediately. And so you'll note that there's something funny going on here. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, you know, with the guy behind the curtain. Something's a little off.
What's next here, Chris?
All right, so immediately when you hear about this claim that we need to have miracles every day, just look at your life and you're sitting there going, "Well, I'm not having miracles happen every day." Well, the immediate question comes up, well, what's stopping us? Well, Takbana has a very interesting theory as to different things that are keeping us from experiencing the daily miraculous. I'll let him explain this first one.
So I'm going to share with you 5 keys to seeing a miracle. And I want you to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and try and discover which point is for you. You see, there's many keys to miracles. And maybe I'm going to share one, then you thought, "Man, that's the one I need to push in on, because there is a miracle waiting for you." So please don't listen for a great message and great points. Listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit, because in God's word is the power to bring breakthrough. See, the voice of God, you know, you can hope and think and push and pray and all the rest of it. But when you have a voice, the word of God, then faith comes by hearing. And that's what releases a miracle. So listen carefully and say, "Holy Spirit, I'm tuning in. What is the key to my miracle?" First thing we need to do is take all limits off God. Psalm 78, 41. "Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." In our hearts, I've discovered, my heart too, we so easily limit God. We just put all these restrictions on them, maybe from our history, our background, our upbringing, whatever it might be. But we keep putting these limits on God. And you hear about some miracles. Yeah, well, yeah, that, of course that happens in Africa. Yeah, that happens in China and India. But it doesn't happen here. Friends, I believe that the God of Africa is the God of New Zealand. I believe it's the same God. I believe the same power is available wherever God's people are. The people in Africa do not have more Holy Spirit power than us. They have the same Holy Spirit. They have the same Jesus. We're all in the same domain. So we can all expect the impossible to happen right in our own lives. You know, one reason we don't see extraordinary miracles is because we assume they won't happen. We just, you know, they're just, well, that's in the too hard basket. So we don't expect it to happen. God wants us to change our thinking. We need to break the shackles off our minds that limit God's power working in our lives, our families, our circumstances. If our prayers do not intimidate us, they're too small. You should pray a prayer and get frightened. "Oh, wow, what was that I prayed for?" You know, it should scare us, because that honors God. God loves big prayers because he is a very big God. When our faith is too small, it limits God. Matthew 9:29, "According to your faith, be it to you."
Okay, so let's deal with his main argument there, and that is, if we don't believe it can happen, if we doubt, or if we say things, this is very important, say things like, "That doesn't happen anymore," we're limiting God's power.
Yeah, and the proof text he gave, by the way, was Psalm 78, verse 41. And there's a reason why he pulled that verse, but it's interesting, he actually referenced it not from like a modern translation, like the ESV or the NIV. He was referencing it from the King James, because the King James is like literally one of the only translations that works that verse in this way. And here's what it says, full King James. "They turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One." And but the ESV says something a little bit different. It's actually more akin to what's going on in the Hebrew. It says they tested God again and again and provoked. The Hebrew word tava, literally to provoke God. And so, but what they do is they're proof texting. So he grabs, you know, Psalm 78:41 from the King James. They limited God and say, see, you can limit God. And so we've got to stop putting the shackles on it. But you'll notice something here. In order for a doctrine to be a biblical doctrine, you really honestly need clear texts that teach it. And Psalm 78:41 is not saying that miracles are not happening in your life because you're putting limits on God. For instance, by the way, I would argue one of the greatest amazing things that God has done for us, to say it's miraculous would be an understatement, is that Christ bled and died for our sins. And you're going to note when you read Paul in Romans, it says that Christ did this for us when we were at enmity with him, not when we believed, but when we hated him. And so God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. You would think that our collective unbelief and collective rebellion against God would have limited his ability for the Son of God to bleed and die on the cross for our sins, but nothing could be further from the truth. So this is a game that they're playing, and this actually has a lot more to do, if you would, with like the theology taught in the Star Wars movie when Yoda, so there's Luke Skywalker on the planet learning how to be a Jedi with Yoda, and Yoda tells Luke Skywalker, you know, to take your X-Wing fighter out of the swamp using the Force. And of course, Luke Skywalker tries, but oh, he can't do it because, of course, the X-Wing fighter is too big. And so Yoda basically says, look at my size. You judge me by my size. And he says, so I can do this. And so he pulls the X-Wing fighter out of the swamp. See, that's actually more closer to the where they're getting their theology here than the Bible, because what he said about limiting God doesn't exist.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity today, responding to those who claim that Christians should expect daily miracles. We'll hear some more and get some more response on the other side of the break. Then we're going to play Issues, Etc., Soundbite of the Week.
In Islam, forgiveness is arbitrary. In Christianity, it is in perfect keeping with God's exorbitant, excessive, and extravagant grace.
Hank Hanegraaff of the Bible Answer Man, speaking at this year's Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference.
And while neither Sunni nor Shia are monolithic respecting details of their end-time scenarios, they are united in reducing Jesus to the administrative deputy of Muhammad and thoroughly human associate of the Muslim Mahdi. Jesus is demoted from the creator of all things, including Muhammad, to a mere caste member in the Muslim eschatological charade.
You can listen to Making the Case Against Islam with Hank Hanegraaff on an audio DVD or thumb drive of our 2018 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a financial gift of $300. Order today at issuesetc.org.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Jesus is the Word of God. He's also incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary and made man. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word is all about Jesus for you. A confessional liturgical parish in the Michigan District, we invite you to worship with us in our new location at the corner of Wattles and Livernoy Roads in the Troy Museum and Historic Village, Troy, Michigan. LCIW.org.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards. EmmanuelPress.us.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity, answering the question, should Christians expect daily miracles? Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest, pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Here is a miracle for you. A child born dead in trespasses and sins is made a child of God and raised to life in the Word of God attached to water in holy baptism. Making the case for infant baptism, featuring our guest Chris Roseborough, is just one of the excellent teachings you'll find on a recording of our 2018 Making the Case conferences. We'll send you an audio DVD or a thumb drive for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300 to Issues Etc. You can order online at issuesetc.org. You can also order by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. It has almost 20 hours of teaching, preaching, and singing on this recording of our spring and fall Making the Case conferences. Chris, what's next in the claim of daily miracles?
So when you're teaching that there are daily miracles, of course you need to substantiate it with miraculous stories. But watch what he's going to do next. We're going to listen to an example of a common thing in the charismatic churches: miracle stories without any evidence, no details, no names. And in the days of cell phones and high-def cameras in our pockets, no photographs offered either.
So there's a boy who has no fingers on one hand, literally five stubs. Pretty awful, really, if you think about it. And so he goes to a healing meeting, and the first act of faith, I believe, is that someone actually prays for the guy. Now, if it was me and there was a prayer line, healing line, and I was walking down the line, I see in my corner's eye there's a guy down there with no fingers, I would pretend I didn't see him and I'd go in the other direction and find someone that's just got a headache, because you put it in the too hard basket. You think that's not going to happen. So I think the fact that they prayed for him was amazing. So he was prayed for, then he turned and he walked away. As he was walking away, they heard pop, another pop, another pop, another pop, and another pop, and this boy has got five brand new fingers. We serve an amazing God. We serve an incredible God. We serve an awesome God.
So, I just want to see, like you said, the pictures, or better yet, couldn't this guy who's making the claim that this occurred do at least one finger for us right there?
Yeah, I mean, so the claim is this person, this unnamed person in this unspecifically named healing revival had this miracle happen to him. And I'm going to be blunt. This is the kind of thing that if this truly happened, the news media would be all over this like you wouldn't believe. I mean, this guy would be the talk of the town. Here's the before photos. Take a look. This kid had nothing. He now has five fingers. I mean, I'm sure there are photographs of this person prior to the miracle, you know, and so here he is at Christmas and he's only got the five stumps. Here he is at Easter, only five stumps. This is his graduation photo. And now look today, he has five. I mean, this is like clickbait gold. I mean, everybody would want to take a look at this. And yet you'll note that there are no photographs. There's no names, no specifics. This is commonplace in the charismatic movement. They are just known for their over and again telling these miracle stories, never giving any evidence to back it up.
Okay, so we have illusionists like David Blaine, guys like this, who they are happy to have people pull out their cell phones and film them. Their careers are built on it. Yeah. As they do their street magic, some of it truly mind-boggling, they'll do some sort of trick and people just run away from them in complete shock and awe, and it's all on film. You could see it on YouTube. You could probably spend the next 5 days binge watching just these things that are caught there. Blaine will tell you in his more intimate moments, I'm doing tricks, but I'm not going to tell you how.
Right.
He doesn't claim to be doing miraculous. Now, if these were real miracles, I would think there'd be a YouTube channels featuring it all the time.
Well, here's the thing. Remember the claim. We are to not put up with a boring Christianity. We need a Christianity where we have miracles every day. So you would think that if this is supposed to be what God wants, that there's got to be at least a few churches around the world where God is able to finally have the limits taken off him, so daily miracles are happening. I mean, those YouTube channels should be just exploding with, you know, all of this documentary evidence of the daily miracles taking place in all the lives of the people at their churches. And those YouTube channels don't exist. In fact, we're only told stories of unnamed people who had these amazing things happen. We don't know where or when, but it's true because, you know, pastors aren't supposed to lie. So it's got to be true.
What's next?
All right, next. Takbana. Next, and this is our last one, is, you know, again, the question comes up, well, why am I not having this? Well, listen to this explanation, because if you consider the theology here, then nobody should be experiencing miracles based on what he's about to say.
We're ready to see the amazing and the extraordinary. You know, I've read of stories where they all gather to pray for rain, and no one brings an umbrella except one person. And the rest of them all get wet. No faith. No faith. I've heard of woman buy a wedding dress in faith. Now, there's a suggestion for some of you. God has given you authority. Some of you listen to that and say, well, it doesn't work for me. You say, yeah, Pastor, you say I've got authority over all these things. Well, I'm not seeing the results that I should be seeing. Well, there could be a number of reasons for this, but can I just suggest one thing to think about? Don't give your authority away. You say, well, how do you do that? You can't live in compromise and disobedience and then expect to walk in authority and in victory. Ephesians 4:27, do not give the devil a foothold. Don't give him access. Don't give him your authority. We can't be dishonest with finances and walk in victory. If we don't pay all our taxes, if we cheat the social welfare, you might say, well, I don't cheat them as much as anyone else. I just partially cheat. No, no, no. Cheat is cheat. Adrian and I were talking about something yesterday, and I said, well, I'm not as bad as that other person. I won't mention who that was. And she says, oh, so you sin, but not as much as others. I thought, oh, dear, she got me there. Doesn't know where it wasn't anything bad, all right. Okay. But, you can't, you cheat, you tell lies. You take sick leave when you're not sick. You're only tired. Well, I deserve it. Fine. Give your authority away. Are you hearing me? Taking extended lunch breaks when you're not meant to. Living in immorality. Sex outside of marriage. Not right.
Strikes me, Chris, that, you know, he is actually, if we were just hearing this in isolation, mm-hmm. we'd say, you know, this guy is actually pointing out sins that people really commit. And he's saying, you know, don't do these things. But the perverse thing here is that instead of saying, these are things that you do for which Jesus bled and died, he's saying, these are things which you do, which are keeping you from living in the miraculous.
Yeah, you'll note then that miracles become the reward for not sinning. But this is a formula for literally driving somebody mad. I mean it, because so now you sit there and go, all right, well, let's take an inventory of my life and start counting up the sins and stuff. And you sit there and go, you know, there isn't a day that goes by that I don't sin. When does God start pouring out the miracles? When I reduce my sin quotient by 50% or 30, where's the standard here? And you'll note that this is a complete misuse of God's law. The purpose of God's law is to convict us of our sin, show us our need for the Savior. So now he's convicting people of sin and basically saying, take an inventory, clean up your act, and at some point in there, then the daily miraculous is supposed to start flowing. So you'll note that, yeah, see, your problem is you're limiting God. Your problem is you're sinning too much. It's all on you. You're the one keeping God from doing all the miracles, and this is spiritual malpractice of the highest order.
So how is this different, any different than the proverbial snake oil salesman who comes to town and says, this will cure whatever ails you, just take it, and when it doesn't work, you go back and you realize he's skipped to the next town. Or in this case, when it doesn't work, the preacher's still there, but he's just telling you, oh, you didn't do it right.
Yeah, and that's the idea. So these churches with guys like this, they've set up not a tent, or a portable thing for the snake oil salesman to do his thing. They've set up a permanent building. And so when the inevitable happens and somebody sits there and goes, I feel like I'm being conned here, because Takbana is the type of guy who then will basically tell you, you've got to tithe off the gross, not the net. And then there's offerings on top of that, and that you're not honoring God if you're not giving everything you're supposed to be giving. And so, you're giving, you're working on your sin. You've stopped limiting God, at least you think you have, and the miracles are not flowing. And so you go to him, and then he'll come up with some reason, say, well, have you tried this? It's still your fault. You obviously don't believe enough or whatever. The problem is that this is not a biblical doctrine. And the reason why people aren't getting these kind of results is because nowhere in Scripture does it tell us that God's going to do this stuff in our lives. This guy is making stuff up and doing very well financially by teaching this stuff.
So in the time left to us here, let's return to two things. First of all, what were the purposes of those periods of the miraculous? We are not denying that God does or even can perform miracles, but what were the purposes of those miracles in both the Old and the New Testament? And what are the purposes of those things that God continues to do in his church that are truly miraculous, which so many view as mere religiosity or empty signs?
Okay, so in the Old Testament, you got your signs associated with Moses, and then the chief of the school of the prophets, Elijah and Elisha. And so the idea here is that God actually explains what these types of sign gifts are for. It's to prove that God is the one who sent the person who's giving these teachings or doing these things. So the signs validate that God is behind the person that he has sent. And so you'll note then that Moses being the first author of Scripture, Elijah and Elisha, representative of the school of the prophets, and then you get to Jesus and the apostles, they perform signs and wonders. You could say that one of the primary reasons that God gave these sign gifts was to validate the messages that these people were writing as they were being added to Scripture. That's one reason for it. Now, the ongoing, we'll call it maybe sacramental miracles, or the miracle that occurs when people are brought to penitent faith in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. These are truly God working in people's lives, but they don't serve the same function as like sign miracles did in the Old Testament or even in the New. It instead shows that God's hand is still at work doing what he's promised to do, to build a kingdom, to call sinners to repent, to regenerate them, and then in the communion of the saints, in the church itself, to continue sanctifying them and making them holy. And so the idea here is that this then becomes the ordinary that we are to expect as far as God acting in our lives. And then, of course, when God answers our prayers, we can talk about the miraculous aspect of it. But again, oftentimes when God answers our prayers, it's not via some dramatic, miraculous event. Oftentimes it's just through the mundane and the ordinary, like what it takes, to plant seed in the ground, have guys harvest it, grind it up, and then send it off to a baker who turns it into bread and it ends up on your table. That is the ordinary that we are to expect, and God's hand is in all of it. And that's what literally the Lord's Prayer teaches us to expect, to pray for God for our daily bread and to receive it for the providential miracle that it is.
Chris, if you would give us a brief summary of your show notes for tonight's Fighting for the Faith.
Tonight we are dealing with Mark Driscoll and his new book called The Spirit-Filled Jesus, where we will be taking a look at Driscoll's kind of spin on the kenotic theology that you see in the NAR. He's got one similar to it where he's trying to embrace the hypostatic union, but at the same time still basically claiming that Jesus did nothing by his divine nature.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith in a half hour at 5 Central at piratechristian.com. Piratechristian.com. Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We'll take a break, and on the other side, we're going to play our four soundbites for you. And after you've listened, you can give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. "'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from The Night Before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The Night Before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus."
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's Classical Christian Curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization, one student at a time.
Hello there, I'm Juanita Wood, the owner of Ad Crucem. My dream of having a Christ-focused Christmas tree has been 18 years in the making. Our tree now brims with Christian symbols to confess the faith. We have the Cairo, Ixus, Chalice, Agnus Dei, Baptism Shell, and 100 other Christ-focused ornaments that are both beautiful and meaningful. Visit adcrucem.com to see our theologically sound greeting cards, jewelry, gifts, churchwares, banners, certificates, and ornaments. That's adcrucem.com.
Jesus is the reason for the season. How often do we hear that this time of year? But what if just for a moment we shifted our focus away from the holly jolly holiday season and simply said, Jesus is the reason, period. Join John Kleinig, Heidi Sias, and others as they explore the great and wondrous mystery of Christ's incarnation in the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This Christmas, bring your family and friends to experience a reenactment of the Christmas story and Journey to the Manger, an interactive Christmas experience.
Enjoy a live nativity, warm drinks and cookies, and live music performed by student groups.
From 5 to 8 p.m. on December 21st, come to Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, to enjoy this Christmas experience for all ages.
Admission is free, and when you donate $25 or more, you'll also receive a custom piece of art made by our students.
For more information,
call 618-656-0043.
Merry Christmas!
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.